بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره محمد رسول الله. محمد رسول الله والذين معه محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا جدي يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى
Oh, Sajjad, With quaking hands, how you dug a small grave, a resting place for Sakina to lay. Her shroud was her shirt covered in bloodstains, till end of time, that is how she will stay. Until today, she's so far from home. Until today, she's so far from home. The prison's so dark and she's alone. Oh, my Imam, Zainul Abidin. Oh, my Imam, Zainul Abidin. Oh, Sajjad, for 40 long years you kept on weeping, cause in your mind Sham kept on repeating the lashes you got and all the beating. For all this feeling, there is no healing. Those memories always will be wrong. Those memories always will be wrong. Of what you heard, felt, of what you saw. Of what you heard, felt, and what you saw. Oh, my Imam, Zainul Abidin. Oh, my Imam, Zainul Abidin. Oh, Sajjad, I want to follow in your direction, to fight for truth, I will face objection. For my beliefs, I will face rejection. I need your help, I need your protection, to stand against falsehood every day. To stand against falsehood every day, and live my life, Master, in your way. And live my life, Master, in your way. Oh, my Imam, Zainul Abidin. Oh, my Imam, Zainul Abidin. Oh, Sajjad, this is the state now today in Pakistan. The true believers are dying in pain. Their tyrant rulers are killing foreign. They're shedding innocent blood without shame. Please now return, Mahdi, our Imam. Please now return, Mahdi, our Imam. And salvage our souls from all this harm. And salvage our souls from all this harm. Oh, my Imam. Oh, my Imam, Zainul Abidin. Oh, my Imam, Zainul Abidin. Oh, Sajjad, brothers and sisters are praying for this. Throughout the world, one day they will be this. When our Imam comes and rules with justice, with love and peace, we will all coexist. We raise our hands, we cry and we say, we raise our hands, we cry and we say, we pray for this moment every day. We pray for this moment every day. Oh, my Imam, Zainul Abidin. Oh, my Imam, Zainul Abidin. Oh, Sajjad.
Assalamu alaikum, how you doing today? Alhamdulillah, seems you're all more than okay. I have a question for you, answer if you may. When someone asks who you are, what do you say? What is this Islam I hear of every day? Islam is the belief of God, which is proved a lot. It is brought by it was brought by your prophet. Please say aloud, salawat. It was from the Lord through the prophet in which we were taught morals, beliefs, and that knowledge should be sought from the cradle to the grave. Muslim means that I believe in what I say, Allahu Akbar, the God who created us from clay. Muslim means that from the daybreak to the night, 5 times I pray. I ask forgiveness for my Lord every single day. I turn to my Creator when the clouds turn gray and thank Him for the rain He sent for me today. Muslims once ruled the world in knowledge and all subjects known. But what happened to us since the world's population has grown? Have we been left biting the dust, forgotten and alone? Let's not postpone. Because it's about time we are no longer unknown and we went out and shown that Islam is the good world's crucial backbone, because this world is Allah's, not our own. Be proud, your Muslim Abdul Jabbar. Do you realize the value of who you are? Because faith, belief, and action will take you very far. Because remember, you're not Muslim, you're Muslim. Remember your faith, remember your belief, because it keeps you away from spiritual grief. Don't let the whispers of Shaitan prevent you from seeing. It's Allah who made all from the tiny atom to the human being, who gave knowledge and power to the Prophet to teach things we practice today. We learn from Adam to be thankful and obey. We learn from Abraham to stand for what's right, even if alone. We learn from Moses to fight oppression to the bone. We learn from Noah, patience at its extreme. We learn from Jesus to stand for our deen. We learn from Muhammad to remember to remain faithful and endure pain. We learn from Imam Ali to fight through the storm and rain. We learn bravery from Imam Hussein. We learn from Imam Sadiq many theories on science and math. And we will learn a lot from Imam Mahdi, who will come with Allah's wrath. As you can see, Allah never left the world without guidance in sight, teaching us religion through His prophets would confide. Now you see signs of our 12th Imam draw near as time itself starts to bend. Then it will be against the world alongside Him, justice we will defend. Then the judgment will come if you did not read. Hearts will be trembling with malnutrition, a spiritual need. We live in a world where freedom is shunned and fought. Contrary to common world belief, heaven cannot be bought, but paradise must be earned. Remember Islam, remember who we are. If you love Allah a lot, please give a loud salawat.
Four more years, you can hear the cheers. Re-election speech, I'm clogging my ears, because the past few years we've been running in spheres. Lost. It's a bridge that we've crossed, and it'll take a lot of heat to defrost the damage. Change is a hackneyed adage. We had a huge disadvantage, my generation. Facing the economic deflation with heavy taxation, broken foundation of a nation that needs a fresh formation. Far from salvation with lies of liberation. There ain't nothing for the lower class, treating them like crabgrass. A shady forecast spreads and enlightens the feds. Aims to pollute the head so you can forget the mother that sheds tears, because she fears living in the streets. Her child hardly eats, extra clothes used as sheets. Money depletes as she rips up the receipts. The government doesn't care because she's not one of the elites, so it mistreats. Vacant claims and disastrous aims. Nation in flames, but we still play their games. It makes me cringe that they continue to infringe nations and unhinge the lives with hives of soldiers, and deprives life with bulldozers as drones hover over another dead. Another child unfed. What's up with my head? I show no emotion, no notion of guilt. Now, that's how I've been trained. Restrained and chained to things that render useless, fruitless. They act as pollutants and inducements that keep me astray and sway. They portray this world and adore as if it's pearl. They put us on a leash and lead us to the gleam, the American dream. Bathe us in mainstream so that we're enslaved to this regime, where the corrupt reign supreme. With blood on their hands they clean, whitewash their deeds as it misleads. They don't care for our needs, they let the weeds grow. As the problems blanket like snow, on the outside is the glamour that they show. Attract foreigners, more victims. Symptoms of domination, of abomination. It all started with a nomination. A nightmare too long to be explained. The picture's been stained. You want a story of corruption? How about a summary? Look at the past rulers, they're the epitome. It's the truth, so set fire to a voting booth, because we're youth. It's our job to rise, and arise from the dust. Clear up the rust of society. Speak against impropriety that surrounds us in such variety. Speak with the energy and unite with the synergy. Passion quite sensory, so it permeates, and generates a stimulation for change. With unity, revolutions in range. It's amazing when you've lived and died for your cause, because it attracts and it draws the people as they hear about the seer that was endeared by the followers, the newest recruitment, the open-minded student, a truant. Thoughts are confluent, and like fluid, they're fluent, immune to diluents, and here for the improvement of this movement. Salawat.
What does Islam say about poetry? Good question. Let's open up the Quran. Someone move the bookmark that I put there. Oh no, it's A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. وَالشُعَرَاءُ يَتَّبِعُهُمُ الْغَاوُونَ أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّهُمْ فِي كُلِّ وَادٍ يَهِيمُونَ وَأَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ مَا لَا يَفْعَلُونَ
إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وذكروا الله كثيرا وانتصروا من بعد ما ظلموا وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. صدق الله العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد
وآل محمد.
It's interesting, this verse that we always recite after our Messiah, وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون, it's in this verse right here. These are verses 224 to 227 of Surah Shu'ara. Translation, to let's see what the Quran says about the poets. As for the poets, the perverse follow them. Have you not regarded that they rove in every valley? They like go everywhere, anywhere they want to, do whatever they want. And that they say what they do not practice? So, you're feeling bad, right? Some of the companions also felt bad when these verses were revealed. So this verse is about you guys, right? Because you're poets. Let's go to the last verse that I recited. Except those who have faith. This is an exception from poets. So we got these poets, they're all bad. Except there's some that Allah is going to praise now. Except those who have faith and do righteous deeds and remember Allah greatly and aid each other after they have been oppressed, and the oppressors will soon know to what return they will be returning. It's so interesting. This verse, it lists four characteristics of a good poet. I never looked at it myself like this. First, let's explain these verses a little more. Okay, so those first verses weren't about you actually, inshallah. Alright, so there's bad poets and then there's good poets. And the Quran is talking about the good poets. And then there's this one part that's so cool. It goes, and aid each other after they have been oppressed. These poets, they aid each other. So what does that mean? Like they help out financially? Like what kind of aid? Allama Tawatabi explains this. He says, what is meant here by aid is that when they're oppressed by bad poetry, they counter with good poetry. They attack with good poetry. It's a weapon. It's a weapon for standing against dhulm. It's a tool for standing against dhulm, subhanAllah. So the story of the Prophet, we all know. The pagans, they would recite poetry against them. I'm not going to start about how powerful poetry is, because you guys know that better than me. The music industry today, why is it thriving? That's how strong it is. Music and poetry and the lyric. I mean, you can't just have music and instrumentals. That's what they call it, instrumentals. Just instruments, right? The lyrics gotta be going on too, right? They gotta be going on too. So, I'm not gonna get into that. The pagans, they were fighting the Prophet with the poetry. And the Prophet would counter them with poetry, and he would go out and ask his companions to recite poetry against them. It's a war. وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ صَلَوَاتِ
اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ.
The Prophet would say this. When he would hear the poetry, he would get energized. He would say, by the Lord, who Prophet Muhammad's life lies in the hands of, فَكَأَنَّمَا تَنْدِهُمْنَهُمْ بِالنَّيْلِ. It's as if you're shooting arrows towards them with these lines of poetry. So they were fighting the Prophet both physically and like this. And he was countering it. Alright? What else? It's so cool. It's like it was an actual battle and there's war cries and the Prophet's encouraging to fight back. اِهْجِهِمْ فَإِنَّ جِبْرَئِيلَ مَعَكْ. Another one of his companions is helping him out with his poetry. The Prophet says, disparage them, for Jibra'il, Prophet Jibra'il is with you right now. With this poetry that you're reciting, Jibra'il is with you. So it's not only when the angels come down, like in the Battle of Badr, the Quran says, we sent angels to help you. It's not only in those types of battles that Allah helps, it's in these battles too. Allah sends angels and help. Jibra'il is with you right now. SubhanAllah. Now, these hadith that I recited for you, they're like kind of negative. You know, you're shooting back. They're hitting you with negative. You're hitting them with negative. But we can derive something here. We can conclude something here, and that is, why is the Prophet encouraging that they fight back like that? Because they want to uphold Islam and Deen and Madhab. So this criteria is there. Now, this is negative poetry, positive as well. When you recite poetry for Islam, when you write poetry for Islam, for Deen, for Madhab, for Ahlul Bayt, and Imam Hussein in particular, it all shares that same criteria that the Prophet was after here in these stories. But these verses were recited, and one of the companions comes to the Prophet. I said, Ka'b ibn Malik. He comes to the Prophet, he says, what do we do now? Because these verses are actually like apparently scolding poetry. What does the Prophet say? He says, Inna al-mu'min yujahidu bi nafsihi wa sayfihi wa lisanih. Okay, you don't, if you're struggling for the way of Allah, it doesn't always have to be physical. Bi nafsihi, with your own self, with your soul, with your body, with everything you got. You can't do that. Sometimes you have to do it with lisanik, with your tongue. Okay? Someone might say, oh, here what is meant is speaking out and lecturing. No, no. The person who's asking is asking about poetry. The Prophet says, fighting sometimes is with your tongue. Through that question that he asked, we find out that here, when the Prophet says, defending with your tongue, it means defending with poetry. Spreading the message with poetry. Serving the cause with poetry. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
I'm going to try to be very brief because I don't have much time. Now, the stories, I'm not going to get into the stories of the imams. They would praise the poets who would recite for them. They would pray for them. They would give them big lumps of money. Okay, there's a reason for that. Okay, they're teaching us something here. All right, we're not going to get into those stories. We don't have time for that. So you can use poetry for hell, to go to hell as a means of going to hell, or you can use it for hell, heaven. Both of them. The Quran is teaching us. So what does Islam have to say about poetry? The Quran told us 3 or 4 verses. But what's cool is when you look at those 4 characteristics in the verses, these are characteristics of Urafa, man. Of mystics, alright? It shows that there's a very great responsibility lying on our shoulders here when it comes to poetry. Alright, it says they're all losers. The Quran says they're all losers except for those who have these. What were they? Let me open the verse again. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. You gotta have the qaid down. You gotta believe the way you're supposed to believe. That's why. عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. You have to have taqwa. You can't expect to have the tawfiq to serve the cause of Abu Abdullah, but every day you're sinning. You're not listening to your parents. You're being a bad person, hurting others' feelings. No, no, no. You want to be a poet of Abu Abdullah. You want to serve him. You have to be a mystic. Mystic in the general sense. What else? وَذَكَرُ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا. That's mystical. You have to be remembering Allah much, kathiran, frequently. Alright? You want to have this honor, it doesn't come freely. Alright? You have to pay a price for it. If you want the tawfiq, if you want to be able to touch the hearts of others, you have to first have let Allah touch your heart. How? By preparing yourself day after day with taqwa, taqwa, taqwa. Wajib haram, wajib haram. What's the fourth one? وَانْتَصَرُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا ظُلِمُوا. When the time comes, they get up and when they're supposed to speak out, they speak out. Alright? It's not just when times are good. No, no. If there's a dhulm going on, that's it. I gotta pull out my pistols, which are my poetry. Right? That's how it works. Not just in good times. And that's a general thing true Islam promotes, right? When there's dhulm, you speak out. No matter if it's your enemy, I mean, dhulm is off limits totally. Recite salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now, some more criteria. That, I mean, see, it's a hard job. So don't think that, all right, I'm going to just do poetry. I mean, it's all good. No, no, that's not how it works. You have to meet these criteria. Those were four the Qur'an taught us. Imam Ali alayhi salam. Which is actually the Hebrew. Which you could say, someone is reiterating what the Qur'an said. He says, I'lamu, he tells the poets of his time, you could say he's telling us too right now. Muhammad Naqvi, where are you? He's talking to you. Nice, that was a nice poem, by the way. You wrote it yourself. MashaAllah. I needed a dictionary by my side. Now, i'lamu, he's telling the poets, i'lamu anna milaka amrikum ad-deen. Know that what the criteria, the yardstick that you have to go by, O poets, is the deen, religion. Alright, that's going to be what that's your distinction. That's where you draw the line. If you're going to recite something or not, deen, that's what counts, deen, nothing else. وَعِسْمَتُكُمْ التَّقْوَى, and your shield is taqwa. Okay, the reason we keep talking about taqwa is because the a'imma keep talking about taqwa. In Jummah prayer you have to say taqwa, taqwa every sermon, or else that don't count, that doesn't count. Right? You have to keep talking about that. Imam Ali is saying, O poets, remember, you want to be able to serve our cause? We don't want just poetry. We want poetry from poets who are qualified. Qualification, deen, and taqwa. And it goes on. It goes on to the end. وَزِينَتُكُمْ وَالْأَدَبُ. Your adornment is your demeanor. So look, man, you have to be arifs, you have to be mystics, you have to act like mystics if you want to serve through poetry the Ahlul Bayt. Now, just for motivation, a couple more hadiths. For those of you who might be a little hesitant, I'm actually looking into it myself. I'm not good at poetry at all. But I really enjoy it when I listen to it, especially like Iran, you know, Iranian culture or Pakistani culture, they have this a lot. In Iranian culture, for example, a lot of times the masab they recite for the Ahlul Bayt, it's just all poetry. Different lines of poetry. And that kills the crowd more. It was the brother here who was kind of singing right now. I couldn't hold it back. Why? Because it's in the form of poetry. Then I said to myself, if I had said this on the minbar, I don't think it would have had an impact the way it's having an impact on me right now. Why? Because, I don't know, it's this form that counts when it comes to these things. A kid is reciting it, but he's causing the rest to put their heads down and shed tears. ما قال فينا قائل بيتون بيت قائل بيت حتى يؤيد بروح القدس. When you recite, the Imams are telling us, Imam Sadr alayhi salam says, he says, when you recite a line of poetry for us, when you write a line for us, you compose one line of poetry, you're being inspired by the Ruh al-Qudus. Okay? The Holy Spirit, not that Holy Spirit, the Islamic Holy Spirit, which is a whole different entity. من قال فينا بيت شعر بنى الله له بيتا في الجنة. One line of poetry, one mansion in paradise, one condo. Oh, that's so many. We don't need that many houses in paradise, bro. You, when you were a kid and you had that tricycle, you're like, that's all I want. I don't need more. And then when you grew up, your eyes opened up more and you found out that, wow, I need more. So I need a bike, no more tricycle. And then after that, you want the motorcycle, the car, and all that. And then you find yourself getting on spaceships and going to the moon. Who knows what the akhirah holds? When they say one line gives you a house, you need them houses. All right? That's how it works. I'm going to cut it short. Just very quickly, a few points. The leader of the supreme leader of the Islamic Revolution, he said he every year he has one, two, three times he has a gathering with the greatest poets of Iran. They get together. What's this message? What's the message in this for us? They get together and they recite poetry for Ahlul Bayt, for the revolution, for Imam Khomeini, so on and so forth. He's our role model, isn't he? Why is the Qur'an like this? I mean, look at this. The Qur'an, Allah could have just sent something like the Old Testament, which is like a very long, the way it's written is like a long storybook, right? It's very long and it's just a normal text, right? But why is the Qur'an like this? I don't know. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَخْشَى وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. It's all the way to the end. أَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ إِذَا تَرَدَّى. So on and so forth. All of these verses. Why is it in this form? It was so cool that they said, this is sorcery and magic. Put cotton in your ears so you don't hear it. Alright? That shows that Allah knows something. Alright? And it's starting here. And I'm seeing a very nice trend, alhamdulillah. And I'm seeing movement from the Western, from the West, and the brothers and sisters in the West. I never thought we would reach such a point. Say salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
I never thought we'd reach such a point. I remember it was like 20 years ago maybe. Some of my friends, they gave it a try and just, it was a failure, total failure. So, but alhamdulillah, it's working. And be smart. Be, seize that opportunity, brothers and sisters. Start it. Be the ones who start it. Who start this trend. Who are the greats of this trend. It has lots of thawab. Inshallah, keep that ikhlas though. And last, finally, please, two things keep in mind when you're composing your poetry for Ahlul Bayt. Listen, we said you gotta be an arif, right? And you gotta be an alim. You gotta know your aqaid. You can't just come out and like start just composing poetry about the imams when you don't know about what the imamate is all about. You gotta learn what the imamate is about because you wanna sing it, you wanna recite about it. You have to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like, what Islam is, true Islam is. That's one. So our beliefs, you gotta work on those. It's hard, it's a tough job, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's got so many rewards. Plus, when it comes to history too, please keep up, stay, follow the ulama here. Okay? The things we're certain about in history, we don't want superstition to creep its way in here too. It's crept its way into a lot of things, and it's taking its toll. We don't want that to find its way here. So let's build up and off this cornerstone properly, inshallah. Alright? And finally, just one example that I really liked one time that I heard. It's not English, it's Farsi, but I'll just do it in English for you. It's not a line of poetry or anything in English. I'm just going to just translate. But it was very nice. I mean, you can say that Ali and Al-Akbar, when he went out, and after he came to the ground, he was cut to pieces. فَقَطَّعُوهُ إِرْبًا إِرْبًا. But there's this nice line in Farsi that says that goes like this. It says that the mirror of Hussein, because the son of somebody, the elder son, is like the mirror of that person. The mirror of Hussein was shattered to pieces. Look at the analogy. First of all, the mirror, because he's the eldest son, shattered to pieces, little pieces. Why? Because they cut him to pieces. Now this one line, and what wonders it does. But if you say it normal, it's not going to have that much impact. It will, because the Ahlul Bayt are great, it will have an impact. But it won't have as much, I would say.
O my Lord, grant us patience and give my salams to the Prophet and the Imams. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. I blame you, O fate. I only blame you. You've taken away my nearest and my dearest. I feel lost and abandoned. My emotions, pain in my mind has gone astray. My soul weep precious tears. No longer is there fidelity. O life, what have you done to mankind? O life, you made me drown the bitter cup of sorrows. Why is it, O life, that the worthy get trampled underfoot? Betrayal has come your pattern. Enough is enough. No shall I submit. O my Lord, grant us patience and give my salams to the Prophet and the Imams. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. They killed us, slaughtered us, put us behind bars, tortured us, robbed us, scared us, terrorized us, and even ignored us. But the enslaved people won't die. They will conquer. My country is your country. My money is your money. And enslaving us must end. Betrayal has become your pattern. Enough is enough. None longer shall I submit. And I ask my Lord, grant us patience and give my salams to the Holy Prophet and the Imam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You made us to die for freedom. burn our flesh for love. Our God-given rights promised to us up above. Read about us in the newspaper. You saw us on Facebook, Twitter, and in the newspaper. Every man, child, women, and man fighting for our freedom. Killers killing your sons, your daughters, and your newborn babies. Here, overseas, across the water and seas. Tanks, missiles, bombs, and grenades. Injecting the lands with guns and blood. This world is chaotic, and love is symbolic. So life, don't get cherished, and our babies perish. O Allah, hear my cry for my family. Nothing compares to the Hussein's tragedy. Let's raise our voices as one ummah and give our salams to the Prophet and Imam. Salawat.
This first one is it's called The Pen That Wrote Karbala. And it could be used as a noha. So if you feel like you want to awaken your heart to it at some point, then inshallah you can go ahead and do that. In a land far away, there lived a sister and brother. In a land far away, there lived a sister and brother, Zainab and Hussein. The world has yet to see another. Zainab and Hussein, the world has yet to see another. Yazid had might, but Hussein was right. So Allah supported Hussein in his fight. Yazid had might, but Hussein was right. And Allah supported Hussein in his fight. To separate falsehood from all that is just, to restore the order to every oppressed. Hussein is the beacon of all which is true. Hussein is the beacon of all which is true. But truth was felt by some 72. But truth was felt by some 72. The odds have switched, the numbers are new. The odds have switched, the numbers are new. And Zainab is the reason that Islam grew. And Zainab is the reason that Islam grew. Proof that a pen used to write what is right can overcome a sword with all of its might. Proof that a pen used to write what is right can overcome a sword with all of its might. In a land far away, there lived a sister and brother. In a time long ago, there lived a sister and brother, Zainab and Hussein. The world has yet to see another, Zainab and Hussein. The world has yet to see another. When a world full of pain came crashing down on Hussein, and it seemed too much to bear, that's when Lady Zainab was there to hear the call of Halmin and propagate to kith and kin the ultimate pure sacrifice that was untarnished by any vice, that was untarnished by any vice. In a land far away, there lived a sister and brother. In a time long ago, there lived a sister and brother, Zainab and Hussein. The world has yet to see another, Zainab and Hussein. The world has yet to see another. Another proof that a pen used to write what is right overcomes a sword with all of its might. A prophecy of old foretold the return of a prophet to his Lord, with two valuables remaining more than their weight in gold. And if the scribes had inscribed and the listeners listened as the tellers told, and if the scribes had inscribed and the listeners listened as the tellers told, soon the cord of Allah, the habl of Allah, would have no one to hold. That's right, no one to hold. Not for us to hold it, but for it to hold us and guide us to maintain the divine accord. Despite the swords in Siffin and Karbala, despite the arrows shot by Harmala, the truth has pierced through the pages of time. And once again, the pen has proven sublime. The words of Zainab in a gathering of sin, the quotes of Sajjad in defense of his kin, his eloquent prayers before his Lord would not have been, if the pen was not mightier than the sword. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
This next one, I think, is it's addressed to some of my younger brothers and sisters. I had a lot of conflict in, you know, keeping this as one or two, but listening to Maulana's Q&A session last night, I was intent on keeping it all together, and it's along the same lines of the decline in academics that we see amongst our youth, and not having that thirst for knowledge, and also some of the spiritual and physical manifestations of hijab in our youth, which might be slipping. So this is a little critical, but of course, first it's addressed to me, and then to anybody else who has an ear for it. Before inviting you to the truth, I ask this question from myself first. What has become of us and our youth who seem to have this amazing thirst to dive head first, ignore shaitan the accursed, to seek knowledge from cradle to hearse? Wasn't it the wish of our mothers who nursed us while we cursed and fussed and did all things of disgust, that one day we would grow to throw away our worldly lust, grab the enshrouding chains and bust out of the shackles that tie us to this world? Wasn't it the wish of our mothers who nursed us while we cursed and fussed and did things of all disgust, that one day we would grow to throw away our worldly lust, grab the enshrouding chains and bust out of the shackles that tie us to this world? Then why are these distractions, vain attractions, in the equation of me and Allah subtractions? In the equation of me and Allah subtractions, the Lord's dissatisfactions, my lack of wajib actions, and plethora of haram reactions, slipping hijabs and sinful glances, waswasi nuances and wasted chances, why have they not stopped? Perhaps we have stopped writing and reading, practicing Islam that is living and breathing. Not a book on a rug waiting to be touched, but a message that needs to be inside the heart, clutched. We are constantly preaching and teaching, or being preached to and taught, but these pearls of wisdom aren't reaching. If our masjids are empty and a battle is constantly fought on kebab or biryani, irani, desi chai, or just simple pani, and while we invite rohani after rohani, that's clergyman in Farsi, and while we invite rohani after rohani, the seller of the pearls are present, but it's still not bought. Preaching and teaching is typically reaching ears that are still aging. Preaching and teaching is typically reaching ears that are still aging. The etching on a rock lasts, but water is free flowing. So if we have stopped writing and reading, practicing Islam that is living and breathing, what we see with our youth is seemingly the tip of the iceberg. Why have they begun slacking in school, having disregard for every kind of rule? Wearing hijab has become so uncool. Hijab for the brothers and sisters, physical and spiritual. The Shaykh said last night, Imam Mahdi doesn't want an army of fools preoccupied with what are surely tools of discord and distraction from our holy leaders, whose words are much weightier than jewels. Rasikhun of knowledge we must become. Rasikhun of knowledge we must become, one by one, in preparation for the Imam to come. Keep your eyes open in these Wahhabi mists, hands balled into fists. Hold your deen in your palm and hold steady your wrists. At the time of Zuhur, holding your religion will be like holding a ball of fire in your wrist. We have a hadith for that. Hold your deen in your palm and hold steady your wrists. Don't let it slip. The Zuhur is near. If you feel the sizzling of your flesh, then the army is made. You'll be a perfect mesh. Inshallah, if you feel the sizzling of your skin, when the army is made, you'll be a perfect mesh. Let us all pray to Allah, the One, that when the time does come, when we hear the trumpet and drum, when the oppressors finally become the victim, that we will be learned enough, mentally tough, shining stars and diamonds in the rough, so much so that the Imam will look to us as a means to propagate Islam. Ameen. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And Brother Hussein told me I have to read this one, the David and Goliath one, so inshallah. If David and Goliath is a story about the strength of the heart, then I testify that David was not Jewish but Muslim from the start. When a child throws his full force behind a stone to shun the tank and bulldozer ravaging his home, then Dawood lives within the heart of that young soldier who will be victorious because he is braver, quicker, and bolder. And if David and Goliath is a story about the strength of the heart, then I testify that David was not Jewish but Muslim from the start. When the checkpoints separate the family, the nation, the creed, and leave the once thriving people desperate, in need, then is that checkpoint anything but another check on the letter of deeds that will tell on the day of Qiyamah why surely the Zionist is thrown headfirst in hell? So if David and Goliath is a story about the strength of the heart, then I testify that David was not Jewish but Muslim from the start. There is no comparison with the tragedy of Karbala. Agreed. That was a pure sacrifice that was divinely decreed. But Gaza is similarly caused by jealousy, hate, and greed from a people that Prophet Moses had once desperately freed. But every day is Ashura and every land is Karbala. Sabra and Shatila, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Samara and Basra, Kabul, Herat and Ghazna, Darfur and Addis Ababa, the Muslims and non-Muslims persecuted in China. Oh, but every day is Ashura and every land is Karbala, and all are reminders, wallah, of the coming of Mahdi Zahra, and all are reminders, wallah, of the coming of Mahdi Zahra. But if David and Goliath is a story about the strength of the heart, then I testify that David was not Jewish but Muslim from the start. So wipe that scar off of the hypocritical flag. As a cowardly, bulldozing, murdering cult, you have a right to brag? The air is coming, time is running, clock is ticking, Israel is descending. He is carrying with him the complete list. So if we could picture with us Dawood. He is carrying with him the complete list. So if we could picture with us Dawood, surely he would first stone the Zionist, and next would be the accursed Ali Saud. Because if Dawood was alive, he would label them as Jalut. Because if Dawood was alive, he would label them as Jalut. Bi Borobargad, without a doubt, Mahdi Zahra will overthrow every Tawood. And I put pen to paper, but to speak the truth. Salawat.
This is called, a note first. One brother told me before I was coming in, he goes, you know, this is poetry about revolution. Well, revolution just isn't marching in a protest. Revolution just isn't jihad inside your heart. Revolution is against your own eyesight sometimes, or I would say to the blindness of the world around you. So this one is called He Sweeps, He Weeps. The wrinkles of time decorate his face as testimony of all that he has endured. Daughters grown, a wife passed away to the grave. Humbly he sweeps and sweeps. Carefully through the halls he walks, looking to correct something wrong. Invisible to the youth around him, he disappears into the background, as if in a quotation. He tossed cup there, he hurries to retrieve and dispose it to the rightful place. No word of complaint is heard while his tired body stoops to bend again, cleaning up after men half his age. As the night darkens to fill the sky with the clusters of stars, Jupiter apparent to the naked eye, the older man places his duties before his sleep. Cleaning the masjid, earning the reward of Allah, the Almighty, he sweeps, he sweeps. Stories unknown hidden in the eyes of utter sadness, pain untold saved only to the confession of his Lord. He cleans the carpets, bespeckled sight gazing across my witnessing, while inside he cries and weeps. And then a thought passes by of a life seldom spoken or shared, time enveloping his soul, his soft voice reaches out through a tempered smile. The old man walks and weeps. Youthful mind trapped inside, a quick response fades to the side, and all that is felt in his salam embodies his empathy of heavenly song, hidden in blindness to the untrained eye. What could you tell us of the past, broken promises never meant to last? O humble man, do not fade away from my memory, but etch your graceful embrace into my prayers as I stand before the one and only God and I weep. Amals are exercised, breath turns into a dua sent into the night, and I forgot to think of you, cleaning the mirrors and the sinks of wudu water collected in puddles as we pray extra more for our soul, and you continue to sweep. Droplets of tears fall from our face, and there you are, hidden in the dew of the morning formation. We have shed our tears and drive away, yet you stay behind to clean once again. O delicate man, you build your house in heaven with every deed, that we stupidly think that we can worldly compensate, that if the clouds descended tomorrow and heaven were to open it, it is us who would clean the floors of your abode in heaven, sweeping them with the tears of our cries and our weeps. Old man, how I wish I was the contented soul that is you. This is called Never Had to Pray. I never had to pray as an orphan left alone without a mother, father, parent, kneeling at their tombstone victimized through an evil corporate intent. I never had to pray while bombs were blowing up the masjid on my street, soaked in blood outside in Baghdad's insufferable summer heat. I never had to pray while people died on the bus to visit Imam Hussein, al-Islam, my stomach filled with shrapnel, or to know that kind of pain. I never had to pray while being controlled under illegal occupation called intimate manifestation, while a pregnant woman died from a missile attack, her child dead in her body under Zionist abortion. I never had to pray in Africa, always wondering when I would starve to death and die, as I was forced to hear the screams of mercenaries raped my mother in front of my eyes. I never had to pray when soldiers burned my crops because I was an Afghani, or to endure the same politician's tripe while sanctioning me for being an Iranian. I never had to pray while dodging Zionist caterpillar bulldozers that destroyed my land. Richard Corey, where are you buried? While the White House excuses the action under congressional demands. I never had to pray while hiding my faith in Asia in the lands of Indonesia, or while having a prayer stone stolen and broken by Wahhabis in Saudi Arabia. I never had to pray while the brutal thugs of Bahrain tortured my sister, a lyrical poet, or as imprisoned while the Ba'ath Party killed my blood brother in barbarian toilets. I never had to pray while attacked and killed during the holy month of Ramadan when other Muslims ignored the news of what was really going on. No, I never had to pray in any of these ways, and that gives me a bit of worries because Allah will one day want to know my excuses and my pathetic stories. He will ask why I was quiet when my voice could clearly speak, why I was deaf to those who were oppressed and those that were weak. He will ask why did I avoid those so close to home and people so far away, homeless, immigrants, the poor, and widows who are now allowed to have any say. He will ask why I didn't march to challenge the powers that be. He will ask why I didn't do much more with all that he had given me. Though that day hasn't come, I wonder how long I will continue to procrastinate. How much longer will I sit self-paralyzed while the dying can no longer wait? You see, I never had to pray while suffering all of these or one single sin. Instead, I woefully prayed with a sinful silence that has shattered my being. That one just gets me all the time. Every time I pray, I think how empty the spirit is if I don't go out and do something. Young brothers, a lot of you are here. MashaAllah, the ones that can stay. And sisters too. And I have to tell you, sometimes I look back on my life and I think, you know, it's like 3 decades down the drain. Because I didn't stand up for something. Nothing less than Hussein, Lord, forgive me for taking this breath as a moment less. How on earth can I inhale and exhale in my current crisis, knowing that my life hasn't been a fraction as pure as Imam Hussein, whose memory endures? Let my tongue not speak in a backbiting tone, giving up a portion of Jannah that may be my own. Let me not point a finger at any believer far or near, as I know it's only pointing to my own damn reflection and to my fears. Let me not give in to forbidden inclinations, as I would deprive myself of your holy salvation. Let me not entertain in all of my lower nafs, for it is Hussein that I want to forever grasp. I do not want an office of political tyranny or corrupt power, if my expectations as a Muslim must fall to a loser's cower, and if I were to give in to constant corporate compromise, I know it could suffer my ummah's progression that should only rise. I'm tired of living only half the way as a Muslim should be. Let me climb this ladder from out of hell so that I can finally see that the light that is leading me up to the straightest path is led by Hussein, whose sword encompassed your wrath. Let me not come here to every Muharram majlis that I attend, only to return to worldly pressures a lesser Shia that merely pretends. Instead, I want to be that strong, confident Muslim who prays out in the open air. I want to be as my Imam, who fought for truth and justice without any scare. For every step I take, every blink I'm awake, for the times I bow and I kiss the ground far away from Karbala, asking for my prayers to go on forth. I ask and I plead with you, the only God, to never let me settle or rest, because Hussein is what makes up the strongest rope that is the best. For if I decide to take nothing less, then I have something profoundly more. I have the Holy Prophet Muhammad, whose son, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, ala Muhammad, whose sunnah or likeness cannot be bought or sold in any corner store. Then I have Imam Ali, whose eloquence broke the unbelievers back as they trembled, winced, and ran away from his righteous attack. Then I have the woman who stood up for her claim to Fadak, and even before every moment since, despite the governments that are whack. Then I have Imam Hassan and Hussein, the only chosen youths of paradise. Zain al-Abidin, whose beautiful prayers of life bring tears to my life. Imam Bakr, the revealer of knowledge, Sadiq, the sixth Imam who brought the truth, Musa al-Kadim, Imam Ridha, Imam Taqi, Imam Naqi, Imam Askari, and if I settle for nothing less than Hussein, I will finally have the one we are all standing and waiting for, the Imam in occultation for this entire earth, from and to every shore. I have all of them, and upon this reappearance, I can finally and humble say, Assalamu alaikum, Imam Mahdi. I decided not to hold a regard for any other way, and that my life could only answer to Allah, the Prophet, and the Imams of his names. I decided to be a Shia, and answered the call of a man named Hussein.
Ya Hussein, why am I here? As if I could ever be so deserving to stand with the 73 or the 313. When, at day's end, I still don't know my neighbor. Why am I here? As if I could ever pick up a sword in your defense, asking, begging, pleading, to let my red flow into brown sands, to lose my legs, my hands. When I ignored the blind man, sign in hand at the traffic light. Why should I cry? The beleaguered wails of the camp, no water for days, becomes a faint echo a week later. How can I ask your smile? I frowned at an innocent comment made in ignorance. How can I stand under your banner, locking arms with Abu Fadl, when I fall, crashing, fumbling, stumbling into the greater jihad of my day-to-day? Who am I? I claim to be yours, but Yazid's foot soldiers stood stronger in confused conviction. Closed mouths don't get fed, but my open mouth sounds nothing like you. You think that I'd welcome a shot of your sweetness, yet I swallow the ashes of cursed arrows. Yes, I can see the injustice done to your blessed countenance as I safely sit at my laptop. Why am I here? What have I done that reflects your sacrifice? When my brothers are infighting, when my sisters willingly cast away their marks, when my community seems to smile at me 2 months a year, but still doesn't know me, when my supplications have lost sincerity, when my hand hitting my chest is merely keeping tempo. Why am I here? Why am I here? Why am I here? I realize that I need you. I heard you smile at the one who came to his senses. I realize the agony of a father watching his baby boy cross over. Closed mouths don't get fed. Somehow I feel hungry. Ya Hussein, seeing you standing alone without my meaning to has become the thorn in my side. Hearing you crying out to Allah has my ears itching with an insanely dipped ivy. Knowing that Allah loved you, that he so loved his five, that he shared you with me in the world, I now taste the cup of true love. In seeking his kingdom, kill self and take another sip. Why am I here? I choose to be that beggar. I know nothing else to do. I fall silent to hear you speak one more time. Ya Hussein, Ya Mawlai, I'm here, leaving Yazid's company, to thank you, seek your smile. Please let me stand with you.
I'll dig for you a grave, my son, in the sand of this desert. I'll dig for you a grave, my son, beneath the tears of your grieving mother. By sword in hand, your grave I'll dig in the sand of this desert. By sword in hand, your grave I'll dig, neath the tears of your grieving mother. I'll shield you from the wind and sun, and the midnight beasts that scavenge. I'll shield you from the wind and sun, from the horse's hooves so savage. Your little chest will be safe, my son, from the midnight beasts that scavenge. Your little chest will be safe, my son, from the horse's hoofs so savage. My youngest son, just 6 months old, oh, you were just a baby. My youngest son, just 6 months old, we stood by the Euphrates. I only wish to ease your thirst, oh, you were just a baby. I only wish to ease your thirst with a drink from the Euphrates. Though the soldiers' hearts began to move, they'd grown so cold and hardened. Oh, the soldiers' hearts began to move with the blood of the martyrs. By their arrow in your neck you proved their hearts were cold and hardened. By their arrow in your neck you proved to be truth's youngest martyr. I'll dig for you a grave, my son, in the sand of this desert. I'll dig for you a grave, my son, neath the tears of your grieving mother.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
Father, let me lay my head upon your chest. It's the only place in this world where my heart can rest. We're surrounded by the bodies of our murdered family and the enemies waiting to take you from me. Oh, in the city of the prophet, the people wonder why the family of Hussein would ever say goodbye to the community that loves us so and stands grieving as our ladies and children join the caravan. Father, let me lay my head upon your chest. It's the only place in this world where my heart can rest. We're surrounded by the bodies of our murdered family and the enemies waiting to take you from me. Oh, now instead of loving faces who hate to see us leave, around us gather sharpened blades and no one would believe that the children of Muhammad could be forced to cry in vain for a simple drink of water, a little sip to ease the pain. Father, let me lay my head upon your chest. It's the only place in this world where my heart can rest. We're surrounded by the bodies of our murdered family and the enemies waiting to take you from me. Oh, I stood and watched you, Father, as you rode away. I would give anything if you could only stay. You tried one last time to save them from the fire, but they were so blinded and imprisoned by desires. Father, let me lay my head upon your chest. It's the only place in this world where my heart can rest. We're surrounded by the bodies of our murdered family and the enemies waiting to take you from me. Oh, after the sun went down, I went to look for you. My heart was so broken, what else could I do? Somehow God led me to your chest, so I finally closed my eyes. I dreamt that we were together again and that you hadn't died. Father, let me lay my head upon your chest. It's the only place in this world where my heart can rest. We're surrounded by the bodies of our murdered family and the enemies waiting to take you from me.
In the night of ignorance, Hussein, you are my blazing star. When clouds of sin block rays of mercy, you are the wind that makes them part. The seeds of comprehension are sown within your tranquil plain, and the agony of this world fades with the utterance of your holy name. You are called upon by the meek to lead them to the justice they pray to attain. So they raise their hands in synchrony and scream, Labbaik Ya Hussein.
Labbaik Ya Hussein. Labbaik Ya Hussein. Labbaik Ya Hussein. Labbaik Ya Hussein.
In the cobweb of hardship spun by the world, Hussein, you end all the commotion. You light the path to inner peace with your example of perfect devotion. O the leader of the martyrs, O the master of every saint, I offer you my every breath. Accept my service, Ya Hussein. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
She wept for her father in the dungeons of Damascus. She said, I had heard of orphans, but I never felt the pain. I cry now, orphaned in the dungeons of Damascus. They slap me when I cry. They have beaten us from Karbala. They still curse us in the dungeons of Damascus. I cannot breathe behind these bars. The air is stiffening. We are hungry and we are thirsty in the dungeons of Damascus. My eyes are full of tears. My ears are bloody. I'm covered with lash marks in the dungeons of Damascus. I sleep in the lap of Auntie Zainab. Brother Abid prays day and night. I'm comforted. One day we'll be free. Free like the birds that fly outside. I wait for that day when I will go home from the dungeons of Damascus. Where is Uncle Abbas? Where is Brother Ali Akbar? Where is my cousin Qasim? Where is my sweetheart Ali Asghar? I wait for them to rescue me from the dungeons of Damascus. She wrapped her arms around his head. Where are you, dear father? I'm in the dungeons of Damascus. She wept and closed her eyes in the dungeons of Damascus, and Sakina softly died in the dungeons of Damascus. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
I'll come back to Karbala, but first I'm going to go to some other subjects of poetry. Truth. Truth was shoved in a corner, locked up, kept in the dark. Bitter desires and anger hunted the truth like sharks. You see, truth is hidden from the masses and it shivers cold. Left alone, it years and ages, and those who mention it are bold. Truth is killed by skillful swordsmen. Their blades dripped in its blood. And when a newer era beckons, truth whispers through the dust. Demons handed you a mirror, one that fed you lies. And as your senses began to falter, its false reflections you recognized. You see, truth became a mystery. You can't see its shrouded grave, invisible to most searching eyes, behind the mirror which you gaze. Salawat. I was lost in a dusty, barren land, accompanied by a stranger, a figure, a man. Searching for a way to escape the heat, we both marched forward on our feet. At first, I didn't pay attention to the voice. I didn't notice the tone or the word choice. But as we tread ahead, he started to annoy, making me wish it wasn't a two-man convoy. He started saying things that made me tick, and most of his statements lacked simple logic. I kept wishing the man would just go away and leave me alone on such a harrowing day. The wind got stronger and my vision was blurry, but that fool kept saying things to irritate fully. Finally, when I had enough on the walk, I said, "Could you stop with the nonsense talk?" He got quiet. He must have been a little surprised. I said, "The way you say things is what I despise." I told him, "You lack manners and you lack maturity. Your definite statements are full of obscurities." I continued, "Think of the hard time your words gave. I wish someone had taught you how to behave." I told him how I felt, and then my words ceased. I started noticing the fading of the dusty breeze. His footsteps approached, and then I could see. I was stunned when he got close, because that person was me. The mighty and magnificent tree, with sweet fruits that all the creatures eat. As the fruits ripen, its branches bend. For the Lord, whose praise should never end. But look at the haughty and arrogant man who debates God's justice and ultimate plan. When the fruits of his labor start to show, the ignorant man's pride starts to glow. Look at how the man stands so tall, doesn't bend with humility like the tree at all. So go tell the foolish man to bend and prostrate, like the humble tree who eloquently illustrates that God is the power behind the fruits we grow, and it's no credit to us of the sweetness they show. So this has to do with the topic of revolution. Everyone, whenever there's a majlis, whenever there's a gathering, everyone talks about the ayat of the coming of the imam. And people are obsessed with these ayats. You know, it's 2012, these signs are in the air, this star is here, the moon is like this. So I wrote it about, after a gathering where I heard a lot of people talk about signs of the imam, so I wrote this then. We should not look towards the sky for signs of the awaited revolution. The sun and moon are obeying their creator. If we fix our act, they will guide us towards our leader. The sun never neglected the oppressed of its warmth and light, and the moon will bear witness of every crime tyrants committed in the darkest of nights. They will meet for an eclipse every day if we end the silence against transgressors. We look up and focus our gaze when we should stand firmly against oppressors. Signs of the awaited Savior are not found in star arrangements, nor in the path of a celestial body. They are found on earth, where crimes are apparent and criminals roam, arrogant and haughty. We should not look towards the sky for signs of the awaited revolution. The heavens need not any modification. It is upon our soil where the innocent cry, for man is the only creation awry. So heart beats 70 times per minute, over 100,000 times a day, maintaining your existence, whether you're conscious or unconscious. It is your source of energy that shakes and contracts in your remembrance, remembering to sustain you, to provide for you, nursing your body with the elements of life, though you are unaware of its incredible pounding at your very core.
Do you wish to feel love? Do you desire to listen to the divine whisperings of your Lord, the Creator of the heavens and the Creator of the earth? Then close your eyes. Place your hand on your chest and feel 70 times per minute, over 100,000 times a day, beginning in the womb and until the day you die, the message plays with consistency and repetition, always bringing returns rhythmically, return upon return, light upon light, alternating currents, hammering palpitations of love, beating the symphony of omnipotence, the pulse of mercy. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Okay. There's two more poems.
Let me tell you a love story unlike any you have heard. According to modern standards, the tale seems absurd. It's about a boy who held a girl in very high regard. Her modesty and shyness made him fall really hard. You see, the story didn't begin at prom or any other school dance. It took place after the first and only legal glance. He caught glimpse of the girl after his math class, but he lowered his gaze whenever she walked past. Everyone around him encouraged him to flirt, but he didn't want to drag her reputation through the mud. It's by short skirts and makeup that most boys get impressed, but the reason he fell for this girl was how modestly she dressed. He had the urge to talk to her, but all the urges he ignored. Instead, he turned to prayer and asked help from his Lord. He thought of her voice and recalled the soft-spoken sound, how she was focused and mature, unlike the other girls around. One day when going home, he saw what he had most feared, and he couldn't help the flow of a few tears onto his beard. He saw the girl with the boy, them walking hand in hand, and the sadness in his heart he felt he couldn't understand. In his aching and dreary mood, he drove to the mosque that day. He realized there was nothing he could do except to be patient and pray. The imam spoke about the marriage of Ali and the Prophet's daughter, ended his speech with how the Prophet's grandson was denied water. The boy felt comfort in what he had heard, so he dedicated his time to God and his immaculate words. From that day on, it was the love of Allah he would seek. He grew into the man who would recite Dua al-Kumail every Thursday of the week. One day his mother told of a girl to whom he should get married. He felt he was ready because old feelings were long buried. To his astonishment, it was the girl with whom he once fell in love. What a pleasant surprise he had received from above. When talking, he asked who the guy was with her that he had seen. She told him her older brother took her trick-or-treating for Halloween. She told him how she noticed his humility whenever he walked by. She thought about him for years when she moved away that July. She said she liked him for the proper akhlaq that he observed and how he treated her like a lady with the respect a girl deserves. When she listened to Dua al-Kumail online, she recognized the voice. Then she went to her father and told him of her choice. Her father said taking the proposal would make him very glad because he had heard the reputation the great reciter had. So the boy and girl finally chose each other as their spouse, and this story ends with their nikah in God's house.